Come on, I'm excited. I'm so excited to be here. Hey, we had a great, great day yesterday. Our whole church got together. We had over 200 people registered and participated in a marriage, an XO conference day. It was just an awesome day. Natalie and I, we had the opportunity to share a little bit, but man, we were strengthened and encouraged and got a lot of practical helps for our marriage. We're not done growing, and we're going to keep growing and growing together. And if you get an opportunity to listen to any of the messages there, I want to brag on my wife, Natalie. She did a teaching with me, the first one, and there was a piece on being a helper that I thought was just fabulous. Yes, I'm biased. I'm her number one fan. But I thought it was just so, so good. And if ladies specifically, if you listen to anything at all, I'm urging you to go listen to the first one. Listen to that. It's going to help you be everything God wants you to be. Amen? Amen. Come on, here we go. Generations. And we're a generational church. We believe in generations. As a matter of fact, help me out right now. How many of you out there are in your 20s or under? 20s and under. Raise your hand. Okay, good deal. Good, good, good. How many of y'all are in your 30s? 30s. Very, very good. How about 40s? Okay, come on. Come on, somebody. There you go. How about the 50s? Come on, there we go. Come on. 60s and up. Okay, very good. Good deal. Yeah, I just wanted to get a picture of what was there. I was like really shocked yesterday, actually. In one moment yesterday, we had everybody in our church that was at the conference who's been married under 15 years. And actually, then it was shocking to me, under 10 years and under 7 years. And there were so many people there yesterday. I'm only married like 10 years and under and 7 years and under. And I was just so excited about that. Because that spells, listen, we got a future and we got a hope coming. Is anybody with me here? And generations are so very, very important. We need to be a generational church because we need all the generations represented here. And so we need to experience that, and we need to be that here. So the big idea today is this. We can live generationally by following these three biblical steps. There's three biblical steps. We're going to passionately love God. We're going to passionately obey God's commands, and we're going to passionately teach our kids. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're talking about marriage. You're talking about parenting, so this gives me an opportunity to check out. You're not allowed to check out, okay? You're not allowed to check out right here, because believe it or not, at some point this year, whether you are married or not, whether you have children or not, no matter how old you are, you're going to encounter somebody who's going to be challenged in their marriage and parenting. Do you live in the same world I do? No, you're going to be around somebody that's going to be challenged in their marriage. You're going to be challenged in their parenting. And I want to help you help them. I want to just say right now that we need to do everything we can to champion marriage and families. That doesn't mean that a lot of my kids are out of the house and this isn't important to me. No, I believe, listen, that marriage and family are severely under attack in our culture and society. Do you live in the same world that I do? Listen, we are unashamedly, unapologetically pro-marriage with a man and a woman and pro-family. Now, I'm saying that because that's being challenged. Now, I know that in this room right now, and there's many people listening, that you may be challenged in that thought process. That may not settle right with you. And if it doesn't, I'm urging you not just to leave upset, but let's have a conversation of what that really means. Let's have conversations about what that really means to not only Jesus' church, but to our culture and society as a whole. Because that's what's at stake right now. There's a generation at stake, and we need to get, and I'm speaking to the church right now. We in the church need to get our act together. Is that okay to say to you all? See, I'm not here to curse the darkness and talk about everybody that's driving up and down Route 22 right now. I'm here to talk to you. And we is here. And you chose to be here. You're not here because of community service. At least I don't think so. And if you are, you picked a good day to come. Come on, somebody. No, see, I'm serious. And these things are being challenged, but we got to know what we believe and why, because if we're going to be generational, it's going to take a people that passionately love God and obey His commands, and they passionately teach their kids to love God and obey His commands. And it's going to take more than only, you know, just a little bit of here and a little bit of there. We got to get it together. Are you with me? So I want to learn what this means. And so let's start off with this word passion. Passion, a strong and barely controllable emotion. Now, this is how most of us get married. This is why we get married. I know some of us are afraid to laugh at that. Someone's like, I know you're right, but But then, in marriage, what do we learn? The suffering and death of Christ. Are you with me? I'm trying to help you. And then what we learn is passion is a strong liking or a desire for or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. I knew that our marriage was growing when my wife looked at me one day and she said, I like you. We went past love, something she has to do and is commanded to do, and now she gets to like me. I says, we've arrived. But this is a picture of marriage and a picture of family that we start with this. We all get married for selfish reasons, because I like the way you make me feel. I like what you do for me. And then we have kids because we want to have little people that like us. That's why we have kids. Listen, maybe marriage starts to get you like in that death and suffering. It's like, I got to have some kids. I need some love. But then we learn more of the death and suffering of Jesus. Are you with me? And so the passion that I'm talking about is this, but this is it, that our marriage and our marriages should be a platform to tell God's story. Our families should be a platform that Jesus can use to tell His story. And we as a people need to do everything we can to impart to the next generation and impart to this world what it truly means to be passionately in love with God, passionately obeying His commands, and passionately teaching our kids to love God and obey His commands. That's what's at stake here. That's what this is really, really all about. So marriage and family are a platform to tell His story of mercy and grace and redemption, because that's what our marriages and our families tell. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. How many of you are so thankful for the gospel message? So now our lives together are to tell that story, and we need to be more dependent on Him, right? And so here we go. We're going to jump into Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is all about generations. And it's more than just going through the motions. And I feel like that's what God's doing with us today. He's taking us beyond just going through the motions and beyond just going through the ritual. I don't believe God didn't create me to go through rituals. God didn't create me to floss and brush my teeth. Now, I'd like to keep my teeth, so I got to go through that to keep them. just like God didn't create me for just some of the what feels like mundane, but I do those things so that we can keep his standards clear. And that's what's at stake here. So in Deuteronomy 6, there's this great message that there was a generation, it was about 38, 39 years into watching everybody die. And they're in between generations. And there's a new generation that's being prepared to go and experience the promises of God. What parent hasn't said, I want my kids to have it better off than we did? Don't we all say that? I always wonder, what was so bad about your childhood that you want them to have it better? I sometimes wonder, but we all say that. But I think if we don't give definition to that, the world will be glad to give us a definition for your marriage and for your kids. They will. So here they are in the midst of, there are challenges, there's a generational thing going on here, and there's new challenges that lay ahead. There's new temptations, new enemies, a new culture. We live right now in 2023 in a very anti-Christian culture. Now, I want you to catch this. We're living in a day and age where it's not just tolerable of Christianity, it's anti-Christianity. See, we got to come to terms with this. If we don't come to terms with this, we're going to slip into some faulty thinking and we don't even realize it as God's people. The world wants to change the concept of who we are and what we really stand for and everything about us here. But we can live generationally. So here we go, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. There are commands and decrees and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and your grandchildren. Listen, if you don't have kids, your nieces and your nephews, or in your friends' kids, and listen, you can put anybody you want in there. Listen here, must fear the Lord your God as long as you live if you obey all his decrees and commands. Now, I just want to stop for a minute and speak to those who have ever been challenged. How many of y'all have ever been challenged in life? How many of y'all have been challenged this morning to get out of bed and get here? Come on. I see those hands. Yeah, come on. And there's this book in the Bible called Job. J-O-B. It's not Job, it's Job. And I don't know if you've ever read it before, but it's like this dismal story. Like if you're ever feeling too good about yourself, read that one. I mean, he like loses everything, loses his family, everything he owns. He goes through a really, really rough time. I mean, really, really rough time, horrible time. And usually I associate Job with that. Like lost everything. His wife even said, curse God and die. You know, I mean, his friends are all telling him, you know, give up. Why bother? But the last couple verses of Job, check this out. This is where it gets good. Job lived 140 years. I know what some of you are thinking. I don't know if that's good or not. Okay, but trust me. He lived 140 years, and after that, living to see four generations. I want you to catch that. Four generations, okay? Children and grandchildren there, okay? Then he died, an old man, who had lived a long, full life. What I'm trying to tell you this, no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how bad you're experiencing it right now, it will not determine your future. Listen, immediately you talk about prayer, evangelism, and parenting, and you can take the air out of every room. Because we all feel like a failure at one point or another. But I want to tell you what you're going through right now and the challenges in life will not determine your future if we can turn to God and trust him. and we can passionately learn to love God through it, he will make something good out of us. How many of y'all, that word's for you right there? Come on. Listen, we've made mistakes. We've gone through rough times. Job was tempted by the devil, tested by God, taunted by his friends, but he lived a long, full life. Not an easy life, but a full life. And just because you don't have an easy life doesn't mean you can't have a full life. Life is full. Life is good. That's what I want to cling to here. I'm going to just jump down to verse 4. Here we go. Passionately love God. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And this is it. We're going to passionately love God. Do you know one thing about passion? You don't have to tell everybody what you're passionate about. You don't. If anybody's around you long enough, they're going to know what you're passionate about. It's just going to naturally come out of you. You don't got to do it. You don't even have to discover what you're passionate about. You just have to listen to what occupies your mind, what occupies your future, what occupies who you are. That's what you're passionate about. And what he's saying here is we passionately love God. We go into this intense like liking or devotion. And the more I relate to God, the more I like him. And he wants to give me good gifts. He wants to give me good things. And so I'm going to learn to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, and strength. And love my neighbor as myself here. That's just it. And our marriages and our families are a platform to tell his story. He passionately wants to be with us. Do you know that we get the image of God, our Father, from our natural father? Men out there, listen. Men out there, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, you may say, well, listen, I may not have kids or all that. How's that? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I already covered that. We get the image of God from our natural father. And this is what's at stake here. We got to get this right. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that believes in strong men. I'm so thankful to believe in a church that believes in a place where men can unashamedly and unapologetically be men, God's men. I was expecting a little more from the men out there. Come on. No, this is what it is. But we're not afraid to be passionately loving God as men. And to the men out there, I want to say to you, for our children's ministry, where are the men in children's ministry? I know what many of us think. I'll just use myself. Oh, good God, you're going to lock me in a room full of them? Please, God, let this cup pass from me. Come on. It's okay to think that way, but it's not okay to stay that way. No, I'm serious. Where are the men that can say, you know what? I want to be with young. I want to be with young men. I want them to see a man that knows the Word of God and can communicate the Word of God to young boys so that I can help their dads and help their moms and I can support them. Where are the men? Where are we? No, I'm asking a serious question. Are we going to stand up and say that the image of God is truly holy and worthy and pure and all of those things? And yes, we're imperfect, but we are a demonstration of the mercy and the grace and the redemption of God. That's our story. That's the platform by which God tells his story, the gospel. This is what it's about here. This is where we're going to go here. What does a marriage look like? It has a priority. God wants to be with us. God loves to be with us. My dad, he's in heaven now. For all his imperfections and impurities, I knew that I knew that I knew my dad loved to be with me. I knew that he was, so my image of God is God wants to be with me. See, I'm trying to show you something. Like we have this image and faulty of God, but we got to go back to passionately loving God and say that we're going to live this passionately with him here. And it's a priority of God. It's a priority of dependence on God. I'm not trying to become more independent. I'm trying to become more dependent on God and interdependent with one another. This is the gospel story. That's the platform. So we can live generationally when we stir up this passion for God, passionately serving him, passionately loving him. But then we can obey the commands of God. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 6. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Not begrudgingly, but wholeheartedly. But it's okay to wrestle with difficult things. It's okay to wrestle. This is unpopular for your pastor to say. I wrestle with difficult things in my faith all the time. I'm not afraid to say I do. I wrestle. I wrestle with the things of God. What do you mean by this and how do you mean that? And I'm always wrestling with the Word of God. I'm going back to the Word of God. God, what are you saying? How are you saying this? Why are you saying this? Why do you mean this? What does this mean today in 2023? Is this old and outdated? Or is this fresh? These are the things I wrestle with. Now, I'm not wrestling with that there's another way to heaven. That's settled. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's it. He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. That's a done deal. It's the rest of the book that sometimes irritates me. Do you read it? No, I'm serious. I'm wrestling with what this means, and it's okay to wrestle. And I think what we've done as a church in the past, I'm talking about not just we, but the church, Big C Church, is we said that there's no room for wrestling with our faith. And there's no room for, like, where's God? That's what Job went through. In Job 23, he starts off the chapter being bitter, and I talk to God, but I can't find him. How many of you ever felt like, where's God? Right? Come on. And where is he? And who is he? And what's he doing? And I would talk to him, but I can't find him. And he goes through all this. But in verse 12, he says this right here. I have not departed from his commands, but I have treasured his words more than daily food. At the end of the day, what does his word say? What does the word of God say? I'm going to passionately love the word of God. The word of God settles it. Even in the midst of my trials, in my temptations, in testing, in struggles, what does the word of God communicate to us? That settles it. A passionately love for God. I'm going to treasure his words more than my daily food. How many of you like to eat? Come on. I'm going to treasure that more than. I'm going to treasure his words more than. I'm so thankful. My dad, he was a blue collar worker, steel worker. Gruff, a bricklayer by trade and in the mill. And you know what got my attention? And I was home. I was still home when my dad met Jesus in a really real way. I knew when my dad started giving very generously and sacrificially. He started tithing. He heard the concept in church and he started doing it. When I watched him do that, I said, wow, it got my attention. I learned to obey God, and I watched my family as a child go through many, many difficult times financially. But God never forsook us. God, we were never hungry. God miraculously showed up in our lives. See, I learned to obey God because I had an example there to see. And are we going to live the example of just pure obedience? I love his word. I love what he's doing. I love what he's saying to us. This is it. We can live generationally in our marriages and our families can make a difference, and we can help one another with what does the word of God say? What does his word say? How can we live that? We need to decide what the next generation should be and be those people. Let's never be a church, Bridge City Church, let's never be a church where those young people ought to. Let's never be that. Let's be a church where if I want them to be that, then I need to be that. No, that's what we need to be. Let's never be the kids these days. No. Maybe they're following your lead. I don't know. Come on. Let's never do that. Let's never be those people. Let's be a people passionately in love with God, passionately obeying his commands, loving that and serving him and pleasing him and preparing our kids for the times that they'll be 13 and 15 and 18. This is one of the reasons why my wife Natalie and I, why we consistently do parenting groups. This is just one of the reasons we want to invest in parents. We want to invest in marriages. This is just one of the reasons why we do that. Because I want to say, like, look, we together can do this. We can and we will succeed. If we want to live generationally, we need to passionately teach our kids. Passionately teach our kids. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. We need to burn these things deep within our hearts. We need to live them out and teach them, not lecture. How many people here love a good lecture? Said no one ever. But school's always open. We can always impart. We can encourage. We can comfort. We can direct. Come on, this is what we're doing. What does the Word of God say? Let's wrestle with it. Let's figure it out. Then let's together, let's teach and let's admonish and let's work together at this. We're doing a... On your seats here is an it's a card that says extravaganza. Extravaganza. And it's on Saturday, April 1st, 11 to 1 right here. And this is for families and kids. There'll be games, there'll be some food, there'll be some fun and all this other good stuff. You know why? Because we believe that the gospel message is really, really cool. And we want to get as many young people to experience the gospel message as possible. So if you like kids or you think that the next generation is worth investing in, I'm inviting you to serve. Now, if you don't like kids, then we're inviting you to serve outside. And we're inviting you to come after and clean up. Is that a good tension? No, I'm serious. See, like, listen, we want to be a part of a church that's generational in thinking, but it's not just going to happen. It's going to happen when we passionately love God and we're willing to go through sacrifice. We're willing to get our passion for God that's bigger than my inconvenience and say, oh, that's just for... God wanted you to have that. There we go. You better... Whoever collects that will be serving. No, I'm just kidding. Not just who cares. Oh, yeah, it's an event. Hope it's good. Hope some kids come. No, we're going to do everything we can. So if you don't have kids, we want you to go out in the most non-creepy way possible and invite as many young people as you can. Okay, can you do that? And that's what these invitations are for. So we want you to take them and invite your family and your friends. It's not the way to do something. It's a way to do something. And I like that way to do something a lot better than the way where you're not doing something. So let's together, let's do something good. Are you with me? With the hopes that we can teach somebody about the life-changing mercy and grace and redemption of the gospel. That's what this is about. So I want you to take that. And I want you to invite. This is one reason why we have this thing called the One Vision Campaign. You heard about it last week. And if you didn't get an annual report, we're going to give you one today. And why are we doing this? We're investing in the future of Jesus' church. We're investing in something that we're not seeing with our own eyes, but we can see it in the Spirit. And as long until Jesus comes back, and as long as we're here, there's promises that we need to get, but we're going to passionately love God, passionately obey His Word. We're going to passionately do everything we can for young people. I thought you'd get a little more excited. No, I mean this with all my heart. This is what's at stake. And this is why we got to encourage one another and speak to one another and do everything we can for one another. In the average year, a parent has about 3,000 hours to impact their kids. Now, that takes into consideration all of their school, sleep, not around. It's rough. I tried to figure out different ways. It was somewhere between 2,800 and 3,500 hours, somewhere in there. Most stats will say that the average parent has about 3,000 hours a year to impact their children. If we bring our kids to church and we're here for an hour and a half, 40 Sundays a year, that's 60 hours. I'm showing you this to show we don't get that many hours to impact and impart. But how much more you have as a parent. And we can't just expect that the church is going to make up the big difference there. Do you know that the average school-age child spends 400 hours a year playing video games. 400 hours playing video games. You start to compare it, it's like, wow, they're spending a lot more time on video games than they are learning about God. But parents, you're the primary ones. Marriage is the platform by which we tell the story. And this is why marriage is so important. And so our marriages that passionately love God and passionately obey His Word and passionately imparting to the next generation. I'm so thankful. My wife, Natalie, she invests in young people all the time. She's always working in kids ministry. I get the big kids and she gets the younger ones. I'm not sure who gets the better. No, I'm just kidding you. See, we just want to keep investing. Is this helping you today? What I want us to do with this is this. I want us to reevaluate. Am I passionately in love with God to the degree that His mercy and grace and redemption has changed my life? Am I passionately loving the commands of God, loving His Word and figuring it out and diving in and saying, God, Your Word, I more than daily food. And if you're going through a rough time in your marriage and your family with your kids, maybe that are wayward or wherever it's going on, I just want to go back to just loving God's Word more than even daily food. More than daily food. That's what I want. That's what I'm longing for here. Let me tell you one more reason why I'm passionate about this. I'm gonna try to bring it home for you right now. Y'all ready here? We're coming in for the landing. Greg, this is our son Greg. Would you stand up with Theo? See, sometimes we just don't see it. That's a reason. And he and little Theo's going to need more than only his pops and his dad and mom to do it. He's going to need you to do it. And there's kids in the back right now that need more than only their parents. They need you to step up. passionately love God and passionately obey Him and passionately let's impart and let's treat that next generation as valuable. Thanks so much. And of course, He was perfect. I'm just saying right there. That was, He gets that from me. If you heard anything that's helpful to you today, would you just stand up so I can pray for you? If you heard anything that was helpful, I mean, not only challenging, but helpful, I want us to reevaluate how we're going to get to the generations here and how we can do it together. That's what this is about. That's what I want to live. I want to live in the promises of God. That's it. But I want to ask you a question here, because if we're going to lead a generation into the promises of God, we got to know that we belong to Him. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but from a birth that comes from God. I want to ask you a question today. Are you a child of God? Have you been born into His kingdom? Do you have a Christian birthday? I got my natural birthday. I know it is. October 26. You can write that down later. But the most important one is August 14th is when I became a follower of Jesus and I became a child of God, where I went from, and I always believed in God, but I accepted His forgiveness, and that's mercy. Then I accepted His leadership, that's His grace. And then my story as a follower told His story of redemption. Do you have a day, a moment, or time when you became a follower of Jesus? That's becoming a child of God. And if you don't, that's where it all begins. You got to be born not from a physical birth and not just only from believing, but from accepting Him. And that's why we're so passionate about the redemption story of Jesus Christ. So then we can live passionately loving Him and passionately obeying Him and passionately teaching young people to love and obey Him. And if you don't have that, you came to the right place. And Lord, I pray for every person that can hear my voice right now. God, turn us into a people that are passionately loving You, passionately obeying You, God. But I pray for those who have yet, Lord, they're standing right outside Your kingdom, right outside that door, Lord God, even right now. And I pray, Father, Lord God, that they, God, by Your grace and mercy and redemption right now, Lord God, would cross the bridge and receive Your mercy, live out Your grace. And if that's you today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time, but you would like to become a child of God, you would like today to be your spiritual birthday, I just want you joyfully and willfully just to say, Pastor, that's me. I'm right here. Is there anybody here today that just says, yo, I got to have today as my day? Anybody at all today, right here, right now, just saying, right here, that's me. Anybody? Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Going once, twice, three times. Lord, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, God, that You would turn us into Your people who are, and use our lives as Your platform to tell Your story in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a great big hand. Thanks for being so great, Pastor Eric.